Bibles and open up to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'd like to welcome those of you in our live streaming audience. We appreciate you tuning in as always, and anybody who might be watching this after the fact. And the best thing I just saw right now, Mark, was the air drums you were just doing. Anyway, in all seriousness, it's good to be here. We're going to be having our State of the Assembly address here this morning, and for the benefit of those who are watching on the live stream, we are going to live stream the first two-thirds of this meeting, and the reason we're doing that is because you folks out there in cyberland that help support the church, we feel it's only fair and appropriate for you to know where the church stands, particularly in the financial department. And then the last third, we will stop the live stream, and I'm going to address some things that are just more pertinent for those folks who are, you know, part of our in-person assembly. And then we'll record that, though. We'll still have it recorded. So if somebody misses the meeting and they want the information, we'll be able to segment that off and still be able to give them the video of it. So just a couple housekeeping items there. Personally, I have to say that I don't remember ever having this meeting at a time when I am in as much personal turmoil as I am in right now. Okay? I'm just being straight with you about it, and I'm being honest. I'm emotional for a lot of reasons about many things. And I am going to try to make it through this, and, you know, I have thoughts, I have some things on my heart, and all sorts of people who aren't here that used to be, and just a lot of things going on for a lot of different reasons. And so I'm going to do my best to make this understandable and helpful and beneficial to all of you. So every year we give a State of the Assembly address. And this used to be done in the fall, and then we moved it into January because it made more sense for financial reporting, et cetera. But Grace Life Bible Church started nearly 18 years ago, we've finished 17 years down the road in the cafeteria of Wayne and Linda Nash's, at the time, manufacturing business, Apex Spring and Stamping. And we met there for the first time in October of 2007, and we met there for a while, and then the next year we were able to obtain and move into this building, and we have been here ever since at 3020 Lake Michigan Drive. And so this has been where we have established the work. Okay, and the original group that came together way back in October of 2007 was a group of some people who were a part of the previous church that I was pastoring at, which is Westside Grace Church in Muskegon Heights, Michigan, a group of folks that had been gathering up in Cedar Springs, Michigan. I was teaching at a charter school at that time, and we were using my classroom for a monthly Bible study. And that was started by Wayne and Linda, and they invited all the family out. So Kurt and Lolly and Christina and others were a part of that. And then some other people that we had just sort of picked up and met along the way. In October of 2007, we met for the first time. And we moved to establish what has become Grace Life Bible Church. And ever since then, we've had some ministry priorities. And one of the things that's unique about our ministry is that we are trying to do things here according to the Pauline pattern and how Paul did things in the scriptures, okay? And that doesn't just apply to the gospel, and that doesn't just apply to the issue of, you know, the teaching of the Bible and dispensational Bible study and edification, but also how did Paul do ministry? How did he go about conducting ministry? If you think about it, last Sunday, those of you that were here, you know that in Acts 13, when Paul is sent out on his first apostolic journey there by the church in Antioch, there are no Gentile churches in anywhere in the Roman Empire at that time. Okay? Look at Romans 15. This is an interesting passage here, and I read it every year at this time because it impresses upon me the ministry that Paul had. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 18. For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Now watch. So that from Jerusalem and all around unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now I know some of you may not be geography buffs and whizzes, and I probably should have included a map, But Jerusalem, if you think of Jerusalem down here, Paul's saying that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, all the way through Asia Minor, up through Macedonia, through all that part of the Roman Empire, he says that he has fully preached the gospel. Okay? And he accomplishes that through his Gentile ministry and apostleship that he's having in these areas. Verse 20, yea, so I have strived, now watch, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. So was Paul focusing on areas that already knew the name of Christ? Or was he focusing on what we would say today in modern terms, unchurched areas, or people where there were no churches, where they didn't even know the name of Christ? That's where he was focusing on. He says in verse 20, yea, so I've strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Okay? Drop down to verse 22. For which cause also I have been hindered from coming to you. Did Paul desire to go to Rome? He desired to go to Rome. It would have made sense for him to go to Rome. Rome was the capital city of the Roman Empire, the power of the day, and he wanted to go there, but he was hindered because of all this other ministry that he had been having. Verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts. So when Paul looks strategically at the map, when he looks at the ancient Roman Empire, by the time he writes the book of Romans, he says that from Jerusalem all around to Illyricum, there's no more place for him to go preach where the name of Christ is not what? Is not known. And you think about the amazing feat and accomplishment that Paul is able to pull off during this time period to accomplish that. So when he looks at things, he's like, there's nowhere else for me to go. Look at verse 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having had a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. So Paul, and I believe the book of Romans, by the way, is written at some point during Acts 20. So it's within the Acts chronology. He looks around and he says, I've got nowhere else to go. So I'm going to go to you guys at Rome. I'm going to try to get into Spain. By the way, would getting into Spain meet his criteria of preaching where the name of Christ was not named? Seems to me that it would have, right? So he's like, on my way to Spain, I'm going to go to Spain. On my way there, I'm going to stop and visit who? Now, we could debate circumstances. Paul eventually does get to Rome, but it's later on in the book of Acts when he's a prisoner and he shows up there in Rome. And so the circumstances might be less than ideal. So how is it that Paul is able to accomplish this? Between Acts 13 and Acts chapter 20, when he writes the book of Romans, how is he able to accomplish this ministry feat? It's because he has a pattern that he is following. He's got a strategy that he's using. Okay? Now, our church is based on this strategy. Okay? And it involves a few scriptural priorities that make our church, I feel, unique and distinct to other churches. Okay? Can you go to any church in West Michigan and hear all sorts of things being said other than the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? Okay? This church is here, and this church exists so that we can expound the doctrine of who we are in Christ, how we are saved, and who, and an understanding of a dispensational framework of the Word of God. That is why we exist. Okay? We could have more people, we could have all sorts of other things if we were going to compromise on the message. I am not interested in compromising on the message. I was gripped as a late teen, early 20-year-old with the message of God's grace and understanding my identity in Christ and who my apostle was. And I purposed in my life that I wanted to preach that message and I wanted to stand for those truths. And I knew that in doing that, there might be costs to pay. There might be things that otherwise we could do or what have you, but it's worth it to me for the sake of the truth. And that's where I'm at as far as where I stand on those things. But you have edification is one of Paul's primary priorities. Get 2 Timothy chapter 1. Get 2 Timothy chapter 1. There's an edification that builds us up today as members of the church, the body of Christ. Okay? And what Paul did is he targeted urban centers. He looked for centers of population and he went to those areas and he established local churches and he enlisted elders and then he turned the work of the ministry over to these elders and then they were responsible to continue the work of the ministry. And look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, I got to stop talking and find it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, notice what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded which is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at chapter 3. I might be even in the wrong book here. I don't know. I told you I was... Just give me 1 second here. Get chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The first goal is the edification of the saints. The establishment of the saints in sound doctrine, in the principles of the grace life, from the word of God, rightly divided. Second, get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Second, get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the principle that we've called one anothering. Some years ago, I preached about a 30-part series looking at all of the times that Paul in his epistles uses the phrase one another, or some form of that phrase. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So there's a one anothering, one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is what we've called one anothering, right? To seek to build and support one another in both triumph and tragedy as members of the church, the body of Christ. Okay? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. A third principle is the principle of training faithful men. Men that you can hand the ministry off to. Paul's accomplishment of what he talks about in Romans chapter 15 there, where we started, is that he had trained faithful men. He was able to hand the ministry off to those men. Those men were able to conduct the ministry in those areas so that Paul could move on to the next place and start the process all over again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And those things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Notice it's supposed to be committed the same material. How does the truth pass on from generation to generation? The truth gets passed on and the baton gets handed off by the doctrine being committed to faithful men and those faithful men taking the same doctrine and then committing it to the next generation and to the next generation. And this is how the truth is to be propagated according to the Word of God. So it is the job of an assembly to identify and train faithful men who are going to be able to take the doctrine, understand the doctrine, and then pass the doctrine to the next generation and so on and so forth. Okay? So there's a process that Paul is following in this ministry. And then he enlists faithful men who are going to be those who have been established in the faith to aid in the edification, encouragement, and establishment of the other saints. Get 1 Timothy chapter 3. Get 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice that we're not talking here about building programs and, you know, all the sorts of things that most churches talk about. We're talking about what does the Scripture say about how ministry is to be conducted. It's very clear what the Scriptures have to say about this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. Okay? I've told you before, I don't claim any special calling or any special pipeline to God or anything like that. Anything that I know, anything that I understand from this book. That's how I know and understand it, and from the Holy Spirit residing within me, and through a desire to want to study it and read it and understand it better, and so forth. There's no mystical hoodly-doo going on here. It's just the Word of God effectually working in people to bring about the objectives of what the Godhead intends to accomplish. And then last is the issue of evangelism. Get 2 Timothy chapter 5. And this is when you have properly edified and mature saints who have a heart for evangelism to see lost souls get saved. Okay? People are saved not by joining churches. Not by coming and walking the aisle, not by doing all of that. People get saved when they understand they're sinners and they understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, shed his blood in payment for their sin, and rose again, and they trust and rely and believe exclusively in that and that alone. That it is all of Christ and it is none of them. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So as we think about this, we have edification, we have one anothering, we have training faithful men, we have enlisting men to aid in the help and the work of the ministry, and we have the issue of evangelism. And everything that we do as an assembly needs to be tied into one of these five core principles that are identified by the Apostle Paul that are part of his ministry philosophy and practice. So we're not endeavoring to get our instructions from stuff outside of the Bible. We are endeavoring to conform our practice and our operation to what the Scriptures say about how the local ministry and church should be done. Now, with all that being said, I want to pivot just a little bit for a recap or a reflection on the year that was 2024, our 17th year here at Grace Life Bible Church. I've said this for a few years now, but number one, we're an aging church. Okay? It's just a fact. I announced in September that Wayne and Jill aren't going to be back. Health and so forth is going to make it difficult for them to be here. And if you recall, I read that note from Wayne about that, and that's part of what I'm sad about, frankly. That's one of other things, but that's one thing that I'm sad about. Wayne was instrumental in establishing this church. There are some of you here that don't know who Wayne is. You've never met him. You never had the privilege of knowing him. And I'm going to stop there lest he get mad at me for saying too much about him, because you know that he doesn't like to have nice things said about him publicly. But this church would not be here if it weren't for Wayne and many things that he's done over the years. Those of you that have been here, you know we've continued with our teen service Sundays, where the teens are involved in some way in the work of the ministry. That is hopefully designed to give them a flavor of what it means to serve in a church and not just be consumers of, you know, what's being pumped out, but that they can hopefully be involved in some way and think about that. We did publish one book in 2024, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. You know that we are a hybrid church. I'm going to talk more about this later on, where we have sort of our in-house saints and then we have our remote saints. And we've been trying to not only grow what goes on here, but what goes on online. And you can see some statistics here. We first started tracking this back in 2021. And if you look at our YouTube, at that time we had 2,148 subscribers on YouTube. Now we are pushing almost 4,000. And then if you look at our Rumble channel here, we established this also in 2021. When we started tracking, we had 163 subscribers on Rumble, and we're now pushing 488. So the ministry online has continued to grow. You will see shortly when you hear about the financial situation that the folks that are listening online, they are financially supporting the work. And so a nice chunk of the finances that the church collects to help us do what we need to do is coming from these people who we call remote saints. In other words, they don't live in West Michigan. They're not here. They're not able to come and be a part of us every Sunday morning. Also, in the last year, 2024, we had the fellowships. We had the grill outs in the summer. We had the Easter and Christmas fellowships. Okay. We had the Bible conference. And then we also had, I was working with Dwayne Stevenson on the summer teaching mentorship program. He taught through the book of Esther last summer. And we have continued to support Des Stridham and his mission work in Africa. And new for 2025, and I'm going to make this announcement right now, Daryl and Charity Dornboss, a lot of you know that they've moved up to Bitely, nearly an hour and a half away, and they have resigned their positions here at Grace Life Bible Church. Daryl is no longer going to be functioning as the treasurer. He is going to be handing that baton off to Mark Gruters, who has agreed to take that on. And then Charity is also going to be stepping away from the position of trying to of overseeing the children's ministries and the things that happen back here with the kids, et cetera. And so I'll have more to say about that later on in the presentation. But with that being said, that means that we have the current structure. I'm going to call Daryl. If you'd make your way up, Daryl. Daryl is going to talk about the year that was, that he was responsible for as far as serving as the treasurer, and he's going to cover that. But now the board structure as it currently stands right now is I am the teaching elder. Mark is, at least for a little while, going to wear two hats that we can hopefully address this at some point, but he's going to serve as the treasurer and the secretary, and Will is going to continue with being the overseer of the children's ministry. So with that said, I'm going to ask Daryl to come, and he's going to talk about the financial report.
Good morning, everyone. Apologize for my voice. I'm still getting over a cold that I caught at the beginning of the year, so hopefully I can make it through this without too much struggle. but we're giving the guys here a few minutes to get the report passed out. As always, we're going to try to summarize an entire year's worth of financial data in just a short presentation. So having said that, if anybody has any questions after the meeting today, I'm more than willing to go through any of the details that you would want to see more information on, or if you have any questions, I'll try to get those answered for you. What we're going to try to do in this meeting is just basically go through and try to highlight the key points from a financial standpoint for the year. So it looks like we've got pretty much everybody's got a copy of the report now, so I'll go ahead and get started. So this is the fiscal year, which matches the calendar year of January 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. If you flip over to the first page there, this is what we try to do each year. Continuously, we've been having issues with our sound system and our live streaming system and audio video projects. And we've worked with three different companies, essentially. We were finally, in 2024, able to close out all of the open projects that we had. The last vendor we worked with was C.S. Erickson. They got the system to the upgrades that we wanted to have done and got the system functioning to a stable point. So we decided that, you know, that was great, and we paid the final invoices, which you can see there for the year was just a little bit over $8,700. And thankfully, that project with C.S. Erickson ended on a positive note, and we now have a working relationship with that company such that if, you know, one of the microphones quit working or something happened with the sound booth, we would be able to work with C.S. Erickson and bring them back in, and they know the system, and hopefully we could get resolution a lot quicker. So that's where we stand with all the audio and visual and live streaming projects. The next bullet point, some of you may remember, but we had a water leak on the south side of the fellowship hall, where it would come down and basically run down the wall. And just due to the construction of the building and the roof out there and the valleys, it was really almost impossible to try to figure out where that water was coming from. So the board made a decision that we would just replace the roofing on the whole east wing. So the whole fellowship hall. They also did a little bit in the front here and a little bit like over the mailboxes just to make it like all encompassing. So we knew that water leak would be taken care of and we wouldn't have any issues with that. So that project was done really early in 2024. They did it in a week. Some people might not even have noticed they came in and did it because they did a really good job of just replacing it, having everything cleaned up, and were gone by the following Sunday. So The total cost of that project was just a little bit over $13.5. The other change in 2024/2020 walk shoveling and getting here early on Sundays and making sure that it was, you know, the parking lot was plowed, they asked to be relieved of that particular duty. So the board set out to solicit quotes from both our current snow removal company, which does just the city sidewalk out there, and our landscaping company that does all of the mowing and whatnot during the summer months. We evaluated both of those contracts, looked at the pros and cons, and we, with Dave's guidance, we decided to go with MI Snow Removal, which is the company that did our city sidewalk anytime it snowed. So we never had any issues with them. They always did a good job of making sure the sidewalk was clean and clear according to the City of Grand Rapids regulations. So we've contracted with them for this winter and into the winter season of 2025. The contract cost was $3,800. And then because we typically are only here on a Sunday morning, what we did is they had an arrangement where they will come and shovel all of the private sidewalks on a Sunday if need be, and then that's a one-time charge of $90 per instance that they do that. So the board thought that was the best way to go given the different contracts that we had. The next bullet item is we had a successful 2024 Bible conference. We'll look at a few of the numbers in a minute, but the net cost to the church was just a little bit over $1,800. As Brian mentioned, we're continuing to support the ministry of Des Stridham. We do a monthly contribution to his ministry, and the total for that for the year was $1,200. A new software that we purchased just recently is called Pulpit AI software. I know what Brian has said about it. He seems to be very happy with it. He can feed in large amounts of content, and the AI essentially can extract smaller bits of content that makes it a lot easier for us to put stuff on YouTube and Facebook and a blog. And yeah, I'm sure he'll talk a little bit more about that later. But that's something the board decided to do to help continue that growth of the online ministry and make that job a little bit easier for the folks here that are doing it. And then the last point I wanted to cover is just a note that we continue to fund our Fidelity brokerage account to provide long-term financial stability to the local church assembly, and we'll look at that number here in a second. If you could flip over to the next page. So this is the balance sheet as of December 31st. Just the green highlights there, you can see the LMCU checking account. The balance at the end of the year was just shy of $20,000. And then the next highlighted item there, the $25,838. So that's just essentially all of the liquid assets of the church at that time. So we're sitting in a good position there from a liquid standpoint. You know, we're not running close to the red or anything like that. So, and then the next item, the Fidelity brokerage account that I had just mentioned, that closed out the year at $110,157. And the balance at the end of 2023, we increased that balance $25,452 for the year. So that was both through some growth of the investments in the account and also some additional contributions that the board had voted on to move funds into that account. And the last highlight on this page, the total liabilities of $1,761, just a note there, that's the revolving credit cards that we use to buy things for the church, you know, donuts and snacks and stuff for the building and whatnot. So that's where that stood at the end of the year. If you flip over to the next page, this is the beginning of the income and expense report. So this is a little bit more detailed breakdown. Again, this is like a whole year summarized into just three pages. So we're going to just quickly highlight some of the key items here. You can see the first two highlights there, local saints and remote saints. The offerings from the local saints, so that would be like people who attend church service here locally in the building. And then, so that came in at just a little bit over 104,000. And then, as Brian mentioned, the offering from the remote saints came in just a little over 25K. So essentially one-fifth of our operating income comes from people who probably never set foot in this building. They listen online, you know, all across the country and sometimes around the world. So as Brian said, that's, you know, a key chunk of our income, and we do want to continue helping those people and increasing our online presence as well. So the total income for the year came in just a bit shy of 140K. Moving down the sheet, you can see there the cost of the Bible conference was 3,247. And just a note there, this kind of goes back to a little bit, you know, Brian had mentioned Wayne, and one of Wayne's wishes was that when we bring in the guest pastors and speakers for the conference, that they didn't incur any financial burden to come here and do that for us. So in doing that, we, you know, basically try to pay for all of their expenses and give them a, you know, a little bit of a speaker fee for coming in and preparing the messages and delivering those to us. So moving on, you can see there's the roof replacement again, and then just the lawn care. So the lawn care, it's more than just mowing. That our company and the contract we have, they do all of the fall cleanup. They do all of the fertilizing, trimming, mowing all year. And then they also do any irrigation system maintenance that we might have. If something breaks down, we can just call them up and they come and take care of that for us. And then the last item on this page is the snow removal contract for this season. As you can see, there is the 38-34. We haven't received any invoices yet for snow shoveling, so that may come at the end of the season, and we'll get that taken care of. If you move on to the next sheet there, just a note, I'm sure nobody remembers last year, but I said that, you know, a lot of the costs were increasing due to inflation and stuff like that, and it was just out of our control. So we bumped up the budget numbers to try to cover that. And this is just one example of that. So just our insurance costs alone for the year increased just over $1,000. So that's just the policy premiums that we have to have for liability and stuff like that. So I wanted to point that out. And then moving down the sheet, you can see the P.O. box renewal and the postage expense. So the 421. Most of that is just to have our P.O. box where we receive all of the mail for the church. And then the software category there, again, just a reminder, that includes all of the software we use for the church, like QuickBooks and Dropbox, Microsoft Office, Carbonite, AGV Security, and now also Pulpit AI. And the way the software companies have gone is it's all yearly subscription-based. So you really don't have much choice if you want to keep using the software, but to pay the subscription cost for the year. And then the last item on this page is the live stream. So this is essentially the costs that allow us to live stream our message each week. And that came in just a little bit under $3,000. If you can switch over to the next page, just a few more items here. So under the parsonage allowance, the church support, so that's pastor's 2024 quote-unquote salary. It's given to them as a parsonage allowance to cover all of their housing needs and mortgages and stuff like that. So for last year, that was $40,000. And then the last item, just to note out here, which we touched on earlier, is the C.S. Erickson project. So that was the final payment of the $8,730 to sort of end that initial project with C.S. Erickson. And, you know, like I mentioned, we, knock on wood, now have a seemingly stable system, and we're just going with that for the time being. So you can see the total expenses for the whole year was $125,800, and then we ended up with a net income of $13,500. So as Brian mentioned, I'll be stepping down as treasurer, and Mark's going to be taking over. Mark and I will be talking a lot over the next 6 months to a year, getting Mark up to speed and getting him trained on all the nuances of being a church treasurer. So I look forward to working with Mark on that. And I also look forward to just having a little bit of a break and enjoying some free time and hopefully just, you know, attending as a regular member and being able to sit in here and hear the services and sing and all of that kind of stuff. So with that, I'm going to ask Mark to come up, and he is going to talk about the year upcoming.
All right. Yeah, so I guess I'm going to be doing this year moving forward. No, I do appreciate Daryl had mentioned that, you know, we're going to be working together a lot moving forward. So it's nice that Daryl and I, we get along pretty well. So, you know, when we're chatting, it's not like it's, you know, miserable. We're blocking out time, just going over numbers. So we kind of, you know, we're buddies, so it'll be all good. But I'm glad that he mentioned that, because I did want you folks to know it's not like I'm just going to start going at this, you know, without any guidance. Daryl's going to leave the training wheels on for a little while for me. So I'm going to keep this brief, as I really, obviously I'm new to this, so I'm not entirely certain how much I want to dig into some of these things, but I do kind of want to take a look forward, as Daryl had mentioned, and we got a few bullet points here referring back to the fiscal report. The first one is that Fidelity brokerage account. We opened it up in 2022, and that 2022 was actually a long time ago. So at that point, you know, Daryl had reached out to me, and, you know, he had kind of brought the idea up of maybe doing something like this. So we sat down and we talked about it. And, you know, in 2022, interest rates at the bank were like, what, 0%, 0.01%, something like that. We all know that things get more expensive every year. That's inflation. So if long-term inflation is averaging about 3% a year, so things are getting 3% more expensive every year, but your assets at the bank are growing by 0.01%, while it feels safe, you're kind of guaranteeing yourself a loss of purchasing power moving forward. So Daryl reached out to me to kind of put a plan together where we could start to build some long-term sustainable wealth for the church. So we did build a defensive portfolio, and we're going to leave it as such. I'd mentioned a couple good years. Not every year is going to be an up year. At some point, I'm going to have to get up here in front of you folks and, you know, talk about that brokerage account where maybe it's down a little bit. So I've been probably sound like a weatherman saying it's going to rain to the board, because I've been telling them that for years. But it keeps going up, so we're going to keep riding it for now. But, I think that's a really wise move that for Daryl to reach out and get that started. We're going to continue that. Pastor, he had made a little mention about his tablet and the battery life, and quite frankly, the performance of you know, electronics like that. They decline over time. They have a useful life. So being that his tablet is at the end of the useful life, we've asked him to start looking around and try to find a suitable replacement for us to review and approve. That one anothering fund, it doesn't get used an awful lot, but I know that Daryl and Pastor and Will have all gotten up here and mentioned it. So just remember that if you are you know, a fellow saint of this church and you're having struggles with some, or not even struggles, but you're just having some financial difficulties or a rough stretch or just a little thin for a little bit, remember that we do have funds set aside. We can discreetly help you with that. So if that's something that you've ever thought about or you're just curious about, you can talk to myself about it. You can talk to Pastor. But we just want you to be aware that that is there. Next point I got here is, God loveth the cheerful giver. As I look around, you know, there's some of you saints that have been here for quite a while. And you probably remember that we've had some years and some stretches where it's pretty thin. That income wasn't where it needed to be, and we explored some pretty drastic measures at one point. So we're in a much better place. Thank you very much. Local saints, please continue to give. Please continue to do this because it's really working. We're starting to get some traction. The remote saints have been nothing short of wonderful. We really appreciate your support. You know, we understand that while you get to join us and you know, edifying your mind every Sunday morning and listen to Pastor, you're not able to join us here for our luncheons or our cookouts or our fellowship events. So thank you for continuing to support us, even if you're not able to fully enjoy everything that we've been able to do through the giving and the generosity that we've kind of been experiencing over the last run here at Grace Life. Flip over, if you wouldn't mind, the very last page in that report there. So what we try to do, and again, Daryl helped me out with this. Appreciate that, Daryl. But what we try to do is we try our best to come up with a forecast. We have some historical data, obviously, so we can make some educated guesses, but this is nothing more than a budget, so I want to emphasize that as we're looking for it. Or as we're looking through it here, we're not going to go through every line item, but if you do spend a little time looking through it, you're probably going to notice that, you know, building and grounds are expensive. And anybody who owns a house, that shouldn't come as news to them. So it is expensive. It is going to continue to be expensive to keep this building up and in a good condition so that we can enjoy it every week. You know, I've got a couple highlights here that I want to point out as well. So I got the music program highlighted there. And that budget was bumped up a little bit this year. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but Bud had brought the idea to us, the board, a couple months ago, that he'd like to try to get the band together to do some recordings so that we can have some songs on tap here. Now, there's a lot that needs to get worked out. We're not 100% sure if we're going to be able to do it, but right now it's looking like we're going to try to get that done. So we earmarked some money for our band to have some time at a studio and be able to do that. So hopefully that all comes together. I know Bud's working, trying to get things coordinated and scheduled, and you know everybody's busy. So hopefully we can all get on the same page and get that. But we're pretty excited about that, just to have that, because we're obviously pretty lucky with the band and the music they provide us every Sunday. You can see there the next highlight is the housing allowance. Again, I don't know how many years in a row now, but we were able to bump up you know, the housing allowance for Pastor and his family. It's not where we want it to be. You guys know by now that we're working hard to try to get him to being a full-time pastor. He does have a job in the secular world. He's a teacher at a public school. So just by nature of that job, it takes up a lot of his time, effort, and energy. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to somehow get him transitioned to go full-time pastor, where he can focus more on his studies and what he does for us here and helping out our local saints and the remote saints. So we're continuing to work towards that. We're not quite there. But again, that's part of the purpose of that Fidelity brokerage account. We're trying to get some money available where we could start kicking off some income to supplement that. We need the saints to continue to give purposefully and out of the goodness of their heart. But we're in a good place. And then, of course, the last little highlight there, you can see Pastor's tablet. I don't really know what tablets cost or what he's looking for. So we got a couple grand earmarked, but well, we know Pastor's going to be responsible. He's not going to go out and try to buy the Cadillac of tablets just because he can. So we'll let him do his research, figure out what he needs, and continue to give him the tools he needs. So that's really where we're at. If anybody does have any specific questions on anything in the report, anything in the proposed budget here, anything about the Fidelity brokerage account we've mentioned, you can feel free to reach out to me, and you don't always have to do it. You don't always have to catch me at church here, so give me a call, shoot me an email if you have questions, but I'll be getting my arms around this stuff and familiarizing myself more and more, and yeah, appreciate Daryl and Charity, and definitely appreciate Daryl for helping make this an easy handoff to me. So I think we're good on the financial part, so I will hand the baton back to Pastor.
Okay, probably going to have to adjust that. These guys, I talk louder than these guys. So I want to thank Daryl and Mark for taking part, and then I'm